This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Thanks for tuning us in today, and greetings in the name of the Lord. For those of you who would like to contact me, again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. If you contact me by mail, you can have a copy of this program on a CD. We also will take your prayer requests. If you go to my website, you can read my weekly meditation there, as well as re-listen to these programs there. You can download the programs to your computer from there. You can also email prayer requests from the website. If you would like to be on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, you'll need to send me your name and address so I can send it on to them. So you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write these addresses down at the close of the program. Now today I'm going to start working our way through the Gospel of Luke. We've looked at the Gospel of Matthew in the past, and we've looked at a lot of the Gospel of John, although we haven't gone through it in an orderly way. But we have not really gone through the Gospel of Luke in the way that we perhaps could have or should have. So I think we're going to start doing that. We won't cover every verse. We won't cover every section. But we're going to cover the important sections of Luke, at least the ones that I consider important, the ones that really speak to me. Now, you'll remember that Matthew is the gospel of the king, and it's written primarily for and to the Jews. That's not to say that it's not written for us as well, those of us who are not Jews, but it's the gospel of the king, the coming king. When we look at Luke, we're looking at a gospel that was written by a Gentile, a physician, a doctor, who accompanied with Paul. From Acts 16 on, we know that he was with Paul. And he got his information somewhat secondhand, but he got it authoritatively, and he says he understood these things from the very beginning. And so we're going to have a gospel that deals with the biography of the Lord from the standpoint of a Gentile. And so it's really written primarily for the Gentiles, though the Jews would, of course, understand the things that are written here, and they would be applicable to them. But the point of view is the point of view of a non-Jew. And the point of view of the Gospel of Luke will have to do with the Lord, not as the coming king, but the Lord as the Son of Man. So we will see the humanity of the Lord emphasized in the Gospel of Luke. We've noted that Mark is really the Gospel of the servant, and we've noted that John is really the gospel of the Son of God. And so there's a little difference in the point of view of each of the authors as they wrote these gospels, because it took each of these authors to give us a balanced view of who Christ really is. And John reminds us that if all of the subjects, if all of the things that could have been written about the Lord had been written about the Lord, the world itself could not contain the books that should have been written. So this is a summary that God has given to us of the biographies of the Lord. And so we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each one giving us a little different perspective, depending on the point of view of the author, a little different perspective in the divine record, the divine inspiration connected with the Lord. Now I want to read from Luke chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, "Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed." Now that's sort of the preamble to the gospel. We know that Luke wrote to Theophilus in the gospel. I believe he wrote to Theophilus because he wanted Theophilus to believe in the same Lord that he believed in. It's interesting that Theophilus means the lover, a lover of God. He's one who loves God. And yet Theophilus, who apparently had a reverence for God, as many people do today, still did not fully understand the story associated with the living Christ. And so he had to be instructed with regard to why the Lord had come, his lineage, his background, the purpose for him coming, and the grace that he showed. This is the Son of Man. The Lord was always the Son of God, but he wasn't always the Son of Man. But as I understand it, even in heaven, he'll be Son of God and Son of Man. He'll bear the wounds in his body that he showed his disciples in the upper room. I'm convinced that we will recognize him by the wounds that he bears, and he'll be the only one with the marks of sin upon him in heaven. And so we'll always know the Son of God as the Son of Man, and as the Son of Man, he's the suffering Savior. But he came into this world as a descendant of Mary. He was born of the Virgin, and even though God was his father, we know that Matthew makes it clear that his lineage goes back to David with regard to his father Joseph. So legally he had a right to the throne, and from the standpoint of his birth through his mother, it's quite clear that he was fulfilling the prophecy that he would be the son of David in an actual physical way as well, the son of man, born as other people are born, but not conceived as the rest of us were conceived. A natural birth, but a miraculous conception. And so he is the Son of Man, and Theophilus is a very blessed person. He has two books written to him. I think the first one, which was the Gospel of Luke, was written so that he would come to faith. And I think the second one was written to him to confirm him in his faith, and so he would know how the gospel had prospered and to encourage him to be faithful to the Lord. And so, in a way, that's our commission, isn't it? Luke was fulfilling it. We are to go into all the world. We're to make disciples, and we are to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, and we are to teach them all things whatsoever the Lord has commanded us. Now, we don't read about the baptism of Theophilus, but I am convinced that at some point he got baptized, because in the New Testament, when they believed, they were baptized. That is, they were immersed in water to be identified with the Lord. A true Christian stood up to the persecution of that day and to the reproach of the Lord, and took their stand with the Lord. Their confession was in their baptism, and they knew what that meant. So whether we don't have a record, as far as I know, of Theophilus being baptized, but we do have the record of what was written to him so that he would understand the gospel, and I think we have a record of what was written to him in Acts after he understood the gospel. I think the Lord had a real interest in this man. We don't know a lot about him, but I do know that he convinces me that the Lord searches out the people who want to know about him and gives them the best evangelist possible, often the Word of God, so that they can, in fact, trust in the Lord. People will often say, well, what about the people in darkest Africa? Well, as you go through the Bible, you see that there was a Philippian jailer who was reached and saved. He wasn't from darkest Africa, but he was an individual that you would normally not expect to have the gospel preached to him and respond to it. There was an Ethiopian eunuch who was from darkest Africa. Lord sent a man by the name of Philip, a good evangelist to him. Theophilus has Luke take him under his wing and teach him. And so these men aren't seeing often great works done in terms of multitudes being saved. That happened in the scripture too. But the Lord is taking an interest in individuals who have an interest in him. And that encourages me, because I look back over my own life and I can see the places where God gave me the privilege of hearing things that perhaps other people don't hear. I was raised in the kind of a home other people are not raised in. And I'm just thankful that the Lord took an interest in me. I think he knew before I was born that I would want to know the truth. And so I don't think anybody who wants to know the truth is ever rejected by God. I think that often they have books written specifically for them. And of course, the rest of us benefit from those books. And we're seeing one here where Luke writes this book so that Theophilus would know for sure that the things that he was hearing were in fact true. And I just wish that people who heard a lot of things about Christ in the world today had enough confidence in the Bible to go back and read these books for themselves that were such a blessing to people like Theophilus. And instead of taking people's word for the fact that certain things are in the Bible, I wish they'd read it for themselves, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so Theophilus was a blessed man. He was an important man. And it shows the love that God has for those who are seeking him. He says that if we seek him, we will find him. And I believe Theophilus was a seeker, a lover of God, but still one who needed to understand the truth and be completely convinced that Christ Jesus was the answer he was looking for. Notice verse 6 says that he's writing this, Luke is writing this, so that you, Theophilus, may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. So Theophilus has heard about these things, but this is to confirm that the things he's hearing are true. I find it interesting that when we preach the gospel, many people tell us, you can't know for sure you're saved. You can't know for sure there's a God. You can't know for sure that what you believe is true. And I just marvel at the fact that God would write a volume like he wrote, 66 books using different authors over a period of probably 2,500 years, but including history of at least 6,000 years and maybe more. He would write a volume like that and do it with the intention of leaving us in doubt as to where we stand with him. No, he didn't do that. He wrote the Bible so that each of these men would be complimentary and would tell us first about the Christ that was coming, and then about the Christ who came, and then about the Christ who is coming again. And folks, we can depend on what the Bible says. And that's why I know I'm saved, because I believe that the authorship of the Bible is God himself. He inspired it, used men as his secretaries. Some cases he may have used a woman, but they were the secretaries. And we now are the beneficiaries of a document that we can depend on. And that document says that we're sinners in need of a Savior, and that if we trust in the sacrifice of Christ at the cross, we are saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we're not saved by works. We're saved to glorify God through good works in a devotional way once we're saved. And folks, the book was written so Theophilus would be sure. It's written so we can be sure. So follow along with us as we go through the book of Luke and see if you're not sure, if it will make you sure that these things that we talk about are really true and that Christ is really the Son of God. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program and upon those who have listened this morning. Meet their every need. If there's unsaved amongst us, bless them with thy salvation. We commit ourselves to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.